And if you would, take a copy of the Word of God if you were able to bring one. If not, maybe you have the Bible app on your phone. You can look it up there as well. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. And we're going to note verse 10 through verse number 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through verse number 18. Notice what the Word of God says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Father, now I do thank you for your word. I would ask that your Spirit, through the word this morning, would really challenge us, would stir us, would change us, and help us to understand the importance of the day and age in which we are living and what our responsibility is. Thank you for the victory that we have in you, and help us to be people that are living in victory on a daily basis. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, we're going to be looking at this passage of Scripture. I remember the days as a boy playing war with plastic soldiers. Maybe some of you can remember this. Remember what color they were? Yeah, they were green. And man, I would set my little soldiers out on the battlefield, and I would put one group over here and one group over here. And in my imagination, we were going to war. And my, that was a lot of fun. I remember that so well. But I must say this morning that we are in a spiritual battle, and we are not playing with plastic soldiers and a make-believe battlefield. The battle is real, the enemy is real, and the victory is sure. We are in a spiritual battle in our country, and the church is called to stand. I realize that we're living in a time in which some may misunderstand the statement I made there, where when we are in a spiritual battle in our country, please understand this morning, I am not talking about Democrat versus Republican. I am not talking about anything politically. The Bible tells us in verse number 12 of this passage of what kind of spiritual battle this is, where he says in verse number 12, note it again, where he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." So again, it's not a political battle. But he says it's against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I have never seen the battle lines so clearly drawn as I have. It Eustace false. Evil, that which is good. It used to be false. Evil, that which is good. It used to be somewhat blurred, but now the battle lines clearly are drawn. And it is important for the church to realize our mission, and to realize that we are in a battle. You see, I don't know for how many of you, when you got saved, that the person that led you to Christ explained to you that now that you are saved, you are in a spiritual battle. They may or may not have told you that, but somewhere along the line, as you have been growing in your relationship with the Lord, you realize that I am in a spiritual battle. It's not with a battle with anybody within my church family. It's not a battle with somebody out there. It is a spiritual battle against Satan and his demonic host. And the Bible here tells us that in this battle, we, the church, are called to stand. It is time to stand and not retreat. It is time to stand and not compromise the truth and try to become more like the world to win them. It is time to stand and not focus on the politics of the day. It is time to stand and be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. It is time to stand like a good soldier of Jesus Christ and endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so our theme this morning is, as you see it here on the screen, it is the theme, one word, stand. We want to stand firm this year in the battle. We want to learn what it is like to stand firm in our beliefs. We want to learn what it is like to stand firm in our behavior. And today we are going to look at the importance of standing and standing firm in the battle. Now, how do we do it? Verse number 10 says that, first of all, we are to stand in the Lord's power. He says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we are to stand in the Lord's power because we see here that he is the source of our energy. You notice in verse number 10, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This speaks of his ability and his authority. Then we see also the scope of our energy, that when a believer's faith is in God, then the Lord's power becomes the power of that believer. Let me repeat that. When a believer's faith is in God, then the Lord's power becomes the power of that believer. Let me illustrate. As much as I stand here and flap my wings, I cannot fly. Do you remember, though, in those days, maybe when you were a young boy or a young girl, I did this. Maybe I was the only one here this morning to do this. But stand on the bed and flap your arms, and maybe you would just take off, jump, and now you know what happened? Boom! You went right down to the floor. No matter how hard I try, I cannot fly. But when I get in an airplane and yield to its power, I can soar above the clouds. I cannot run 65 miles an hour. But when I get behind the wheel of my car and yield to its power, I can achieve speeds I never could on my own. And so you see here in this passage that when our faith is in God and in his power, then his strength becomes my strength, and his power becomes our power. We can now have the energy to stand not on our own, but in the power of his might. Because you see here, as you start at verse number 10, and he gives a great description all the way down through verse number 10 about the battle that we are in and that we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. And he says, when you then are in this battle, you are not standing there in your own strength. May I say, very authoritative on the Word of God this morning, none of us here, I don't care how long you have been saved, none of us here are a match for Satan. In our own strength, we'll lose. We'll lose every time. Now, he is not all powerful, but he is powerful. And we find in this context, the Bible starts right out and says in verse 10, if you are going to stand, you're going to have to be able to stand in the power of the Lord. Not in your own strength, not leaning on your own wisdom, your own thoughts and so forth. But he says you stand in the power of the Lord and in the strength of the Lord and the power of his might. So how do we stand in the battle? We stand in the power of the Lord. But notice, secondly, we are to stand in the Lord's purposes. Because here, and we will break this down in the weeks to come, but we find some purposes. Why do we stand in the battle, and what is the purpose of it? Well, first of all, may I say that we stand in the purpose of soul winning or witnessing. Look, if you would, now he begins to break down the armor, and he says in verse number 15, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then verse number 19, he says, as he talks about prayer in verse 18, in verse 19 he says, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So this year, God helping us, we want to stand in God, the Lord's purpose of soul winning as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I realize that we have come out a very difficult year in 2020, difficult in so many ways. And a lot of people have lived their lives in a spirit of fear. They're hiding, if you would. They're hiding out in their houses and so forth. And believe me, I know the virus is real because I had it. I know what it is like. I didn't have a severe case of it, but I had it. I was laid down for 18 days. I know that it is a real thing. But having said that, may I say this, that in this year, we will be careful, but we will not be fearful. We're not going to go around as a church family moving around in a spirit of fear, because God hasn't called us to be a people of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, I say that because of this. This year, this past year, has really presented not just our church, but most churches, the great challenge of how do you do outreach now? Do you go out and knock on doors and actually talk to people face to face? Will they stand there and talk to you and all of that? And presented all different kinds of challenges and so forth. But here's what I know. God's call and God's command to still reach our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that has not changed regardless of the virus, regardless of the political state of our country at this time. It has not changed. The command is still clear. The call is still clear. He says, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. One old preacher used to say that the only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to Jesus Christ. Think about this. I know sometimes numbers can be very cold, but think about this. In our world, over 7 billion people live in the world. And of that 7 billion, 154,937 are dying daily. That then, break it down more, 2 people every second, every day. Dying of various diseases and so forth and various reasons. And yet, the question I pose that I don't have the answer to, but I pose it as a challenge to our own heart and spirit, is where have those people gone? If they've known Christ as their Savior, they're with the Lord. If they did not, sadly, they're in a Christless hell forever. And so we find that God's will is for every person in the world to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is His will to use us to accomplish that task. As I think about this then this morning, church, I think about how that we have been called to be a soldier of Jesus Christ and stand in the battle and stand in the purpose of soul winning, reaching our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I put before you this morning, one is a challenge and two is a matter of prayer that I want you to join with me in praying about, that by the end of this year, Lord willing, we will have seen 21 people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior here in the year 2021. Reaching 21 people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have our messages every service going out by way of Facebook. And who knows how many people we are reaching. Some people don't really let you know if they're there and so forth. But my wife is able to track that. And actually, we're in the hundreds of people that watch our services. And we can see God working in hearts and lives of people. But in our community, reaching forth and continuing to go forth and reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has laid upon my heart as well, that we not only go to our own community, but that we branch out of the Gaines Township area and we go to other communities that are surrounding us that need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know one community, about 2,400 people, that really only has one church in it. And I don't know, quite frankly, what they teach and what they preach, but the Lord has laid that particular area on my heart that we as a church, we are to reach our Jerusalem. And for 28 years, we have been going and we're still going. We went out yesterday and we handed out pamphlets to house to house to house and had a couple opportunities to talk to about four people along the way. And I'm thankful for that opportunity. But I tell you that there are other people outside of Gaines that need the Lord Jesus Christ. This year, I'm excited to participate with Josh Levesque and go down to the Dearborn community as he'll be planting a church down there this fall. And we'll go down there this summer and take teams of people that will go down and just help them distribute material and let them know about a new church that will be starting in the fall and so forth. Great opportunities for us as a church to just go forth with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know many of you have sat under my ministry for a long time, and I know this part right here may not sound that new to you, but there's a reason for that, because this charge to the church does not change. We cannot change and we cannot move away as a church from our mission, and that mission is to take the gospel to every creature. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So everybody in Gaines Township needs to hear of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. People in Duran need to hear of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. People in Byron need to hear of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could just go on and on and on. People, basically, I know it's a song, but people need the Lord. They need Jesus Christ. And while people are on a high-pitched fever about politics, may I say, you're not going to find answers in Washington, D.C. Our answers lie in the Word of God. Our hope lies in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we find here that he says we are to stand in the purpose of soul winning, having, if you would, our feet as a good soldier, our feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. I think about how in this past fall, I was out with one of the men of our church, and how a gentleman had asked him who he had voted for. And you know, that for whatever reason, that just sticks with me. Not out of anger at all, but because we aren't going out door to door to tell people about politics. That's not where the answer is. The answer is in Jesus. Do you believe that? Say amen. The answer is in Jesus. In your packet of information, I purposely put in your packet two tracks. Just two. I could have bundled a bunch of them in there for you, but you know where the track rack is. But here is the challenge. I want you, before this month is up, in the month of January, to take those two tracks and pass those to someone and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with someone and tell them of Jesus, the mighty power to save. And so we see here this morning that we are to stand in the purpose of soul winning. Who are you going to reach this year? Who are you going to tell of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? I have been praying more and more for boldness. I have been praying that when I go to see a doctor, I'll speak of the Lord Jesus. You already have a designated time to see the doc. Look at it this way. A designated time to talk to him or her about the Lord Jesus. I remember a few years ago, my wife and I were able to do that. Kind of family doctor we have, particularly if he's not real busy, but sometimes the reason he's real busy is because he's not one of these guys that just come in, kind of look at you and go home, take this, and on your way. He'll really sit there and talk to you for about 15, 20 minutes. And so anyway, we had one of those occasions. And it did start off about politics, and then I transitioned. And I asked him, I says, Doc, let me ask you, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And he just sat there and he thought about it. And my wife and I had opportunity to explain the gospel to him some more, and we gave him some information. And I'm so thankful, again, that those are opportunities. Because you see, sometimes we think we have to go knock the door down. We don't have to go knock the door down. What we do have to pray for is God open the door. Paul said, pray for me that a door of opportunity, a door of utterance would be open, that I'd be able to preach the gospel. And if you'll get up every morning and pray, God, today as I go into my day, help me to be ready to speak to somebody. Sometimes they're right at your front door. Hey, what about that pizza guy that brings pizza to you? Say, well, I want what's in that pizza box. I get it. But think about this. Turn that right around and say, hey, before you leave, let me share this with you. It tells you how you can know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's all you got to do. And let the Lord lead in it. You see, there's opportunities after opportunities after opportunities. People will listen if we'll take the time to speak to them. We've got to not only stand in the Lord's purpose of soul winning this year, but we need to stand in the purpose of prayer. Look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Prayer is so vital to our own Christian life, and it is so vital to the church life. I think about when you read the book of Acts, how often it says that they prayed. It talks about times that when they had prayed, the place was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They were individuals like you and me, yes, lived in a different time. Yes, many of them at that time were under a spirit of persecution. And yet they realized the importance of prayer. Church, listen carefully. Our church will only be as strong as the prayer life of the church is strong. Soul winning, yes, is important. But prayer is vital to a church. Over my 28 years here of being with you, I have seen God work in great ways through the spirit of prayer and the practice of prayer. People being saved where we made a specific target and focus to pray for individuals to be saved and to see those individuals come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Again, it wasn't because we had some great plan. We just trusted God that if we'll pray, He says, you have not because you what? You ask not. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And this year, if we're going to see God do great and mighty things through us and for us as a church, as we stand, we must stand in prayer. Let me give you a Bible illustration of this. In Matthew 17, we have a father with a lunatic son. He is filled with a demon. That father brings his son to the disciples because they had been able to cast out demons before. But this particular moment in time, they were unable to do it. Then the father brings his son to Jesus. Jesus casts the demon out of the boy. And the disciples then ask, after that happened, well, Lord, why could we do this? We've done it before, but why couldn't we do it here? Now listen to the answer of Jesus. He says, this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. He says, yes, you men probably, and I know you have done this before, but you got to a place where you relied on your own strength. Hey, we can do this. We've done it before. We've done it for so-and-so, and we've done it for so-and-so, and we can do it again, and you neglected prayer. Jesus says, howbeit this kind goeth not forth, but by prayer and fasting. When we are in spiritual warfare, the Bible is teaching us here the importance of prayer. that if we're going to be able to stand, we have to stand as prayer warriors. We have to pray. Now, here's what I know about prayer. Prayer oftentimes is not glamorous. If I announced, and I'm not going to, but if I announced that tonight was only going to be about prayer, we're just going to pray. I'm not going to preach. We're not going to have music. We're just going to pray. Now, I know this will sound harsh, but I don't mean it to be harsh. Our attendance will be really low. But if I announce tonight, hey, make sure you're back because we're going to have snacks, we're going to have food, we're going to have pizza. Come on. My crowd will be up. Not my crowd, but our crowd will be up. Again, I say that not in a harsh way or a judgmental way, but I'm telling you, oftentimes people are afraid of prayer. We ought not to be afraid of prayer. In fact, I tell you this morning, according to the Word of God, that prayer is where the power lies for the church. The church needs to pray. We need to be on our knees crying out to God. And I stand before you as one this morning, quite frankly. I stand before you convicted. I stand before you guilty. Remember that Bible verse that says, I would that first of all prayer and supplication be made for all men that are in authority. I wonder how much we really prayed in this past year for all in authority. Or did we get caught up in the fever pitch of the political climate and this is going on and this is going on? Should we wear a mask or not wear a mask? Should we wash our hands or not wash our hands? And why are we being under lockdowns and all of that? And what most often probably in our life, if we're honest with ourselves, being honest with myself, that kind of took a second place, that was the matter of prayer. You see, we move men to God through prayer. Not through politics, but through prayer. The church is called to stand in prayer. Over and over, that early New Testament church prayed, prayed, and prayed. And guess what followed? The blessings of God. I don't know about you, but I want God's blessings on this church. I want His blessing on my life. I want His blessing on this church. And it comes through the practice of prayer. I remember, and I had the great opportunity to go to Romania. One of the things that struck me was how, I don't know how they do it now. It's been quite a few years since I've been there. But when I was going to church in Romania, the first 30 minutes of the service was not spent in singing, was not spent in giving announcements. It was spent in prayer. The men were on one side, the ladies, because they didn't sit together as husband and wife. All the men sit in one section of the church, and that's just kind of their custom or their tradition. That's how they did it. And then when the prayer time was over, I'm talking about this was a regular part of their worship service. It wasn't like, hey, come 30 minutes before 10:30 and we'll pray. No, this was part of their practice. But what I saw was the blessing of God upon those churches. Why? Because they valued the importance of prayer. This year, Lord willing, I will lead you in periodic prayer focuses. Our first one actually begins today. Because on March 20th, we're going to have a revival meeting with Eric Getch. Eric is the son of John Getch. We've had John here several times. But his son is in evangelism, and so he and his family will be here. And we're going to have a special emphasis upon revival and evangelism. But before that, I want to spend weeks leading up to that meeting, prayer focus on the matter of asking God to revive our heart, to revive us as a church, to do a deep and abiding work in our hearts and our lives. Because I tell you this morning, prayer is so important to your church. It's like breathing. I think oftentimes we end our prayer how? In Jesus' name, amen. And it's like, there, I prayed, I'm done. Until you get to another Bible verse that says this, pray without, you know it? Pray without ceasing. So while I, quote, ended my prayer and now ready to go on to my day, I need to continue to be in this spirit of prayer. God bringing people to my mind and leads me to pray for them, or God leading situations to my mind and I'm able to pray. I don't have to, if you would, pull my car over and take time to pray. I mean, unless you just are so adamant you've got to close your eyes when you pray, then it'd be a good thing to pull over and pray. But nonetheless, it's just a matter of praying even while you're working. Wow. Prayer is so important, so vital to the church. Stand in the Lord's purpose of soul winning. Stand in the Lord's purpose of prayer, thirdly, and this one's going vital as well this year for us. Stand in the Lord's purpose of fellowship. I can't find this necessarily in this particular passage in chapter 6, but I can find it elsewhere in Ephesians. So go to chapter 1, look at verse number 15. Chapter 1 and verse number 15, he says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." Then notice in chapter 4, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Look now, if you would, at verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. May I say that if you study the early church, you will notice how important that word fellowship was in the book of Acts. And fellowship, oftentimes in our modern time, we think about it this way. We'll call for a finger food fellowship. Simply, you bring some kind of snack. We'll sit around tables. We'll laugh. We'll enjoy each other's company. And to a degree, that is fellowship. That is encouragement. But that isn't what it necessarily meant back in Bible times. In Bible times, it leaned heavily on the spirit of encouragement. Church, I do not know what lies any more than you do, what lies ahead under this new administration that is coming in. I don't know about that. And again, I'm not trying to make this political. But I cannot worry about what is coming in. But I do know this, God does. God knows what's coming in. It may be good, it may be bad, it may be very difficult times that are ahead for the church. I do not know that. But here's what I do know. Whatever lies ahead, it's going to be important for us as a church family to fellowship together, to encourage one another, to build each other up, to edify one another. One of the main ways that we can do that is by assembling together, by being present together. There comes a time when someone has to finally decide, I'm going to go and I'm going to be with God's people. Virus or no virus, I'm going to be with the fellowship of God's people, because God has commanded the church to do what? The church to come together and worship together. Why? Because we are stronger together. We are weaker when we're separated. We have to come together. We've got to fellowship. I love it that this church family, you'll see it this morning. Now, please don't do the opposite of what I'm about ready to say and make a liar out of me, but our church is good at, I've seen this, that you, many of you, now there's some of you, as soon as I say amen, you're out of here, and God bless you. But there's many of you, if you would, that love to stay around until finally the lights have to go off. I could name some names, but I won't. And they could stand around and talk 2-3 hours. And I love it. I enjoy it. Because I tell you, that's what the church family needs. We need the fellowship of each other. We need the encouragement of each other. Now, I don't stand before you this morning and necessarily have, you know, a lot of plans on how we're going to enhance that this year. Except I would say, just start right where you are at. Meaning by that, you will have in your packet this morning, I believe, a church directory. And if I'm wrong on that, what I mean is just a list of the church names. And you can go through that and you can pray for the people of our church, and you can this year stretch yourself. Instead of attach yourself to just one person in this church because that's who you get along with, stretch yourself. If you don't know Carol Baldwin that well, get to know her. You know, she can cook pretty good. Did you know that? She has 2 dogs. Did you know that? You know, I could tell you more about her, but I won't. But, you know, get to know Tracy Sleff. He has cows. They stink. But you know what? In his house, it's nice. Got a couple of dogs in there, a couple of deer head on the walls. Yeah, I've been over there in fellowship with them. Go over to the Pickett's house. You know, just recently, gone over there and see how they've done some painting and so forth. And wow, looks nice. And the, you know, plans that they have for some future building and so forth. You know, I wouldn't know that necessarily just because I see them at church. You see, this is where I said earlier, we will be careful this year. The virus is real, yes, but we will not be fearful. I don't believe God wants us to be so fearful, because what it robs us of is opportunities to minister. And we've got to come together and we've got to be this church that is strong and standing and caring for one another, loving one another. And if the days, and I shared this with you last summer when I preached this series on future events that are going to rock the world. And isn't it interesting how up to date the Word of God is? How close we are to the coming of Jesus Christ. And we are seeing precursors of what it's going to be like in the time of the tribulation period. So that means, I have said this to you, that just because we believe that we'll be raptured before the tribulation period begins, nowhere in God's word does he say that we will not suffer, that we won't go through some hard times before that time comes. And what will be important for us then? Times like this. Times where we hang out after church and maybe get here early and just talk and encourage one another and just share our burdens, our prayer requests, and just fellowship together. That's what the early church had. They valued each other's relationships. And they realized that they were stronger together than being separated. And we find in this context that this year, God willing, that we will stand in the Lord's power. We will stand in the Lord's purposes, and then we will thirdly stand in the Lord's victory. Look, if you would, again at verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The victory of the Lord is promised, because he says here, put on the whole armor of God. When a soldier goes to battle, he has himself prepared. He has his gun. He has the proper attire on and so forth to protect himself in the battle. Likewise, we find here in this context that God says, I have given you armor as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And because I've given you this armor, understand something. You are guaranteed victory. The armor I'm giving you, I'm setting you up for victory, not defeat. God never, if you would, brings defeat in our life as a Christian. God brings victory in our life. And it is certain, it is promised, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the victory, as we sang about it this morning. Oh, victory in Jesus. And the victory is promised. We stand in the Lord's victory, and the Lord's victory is certain. Oh, I love this verse from Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 15. Listen to what it says. This is yet future. This is what we, the church, and I'm using that now in a broad way, we, the church, have to look forward to. Listen to this. The kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of this world that we know of right now, are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. I'm telling you, you've heard me say it a lot, but I'm going to say it one more time. We are on the winning side. We have the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and one day the kingdoms of man, the governments of men are going to go by the wayside. Jesus Christ is going to come. He's going to plant his feet on this earth, and he's going to rule over the affairs of men, and he will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And until that day comes, may I say then, that we can stand in the Lord's victory now. We are to live a life of victory. And this year, I want to see us as individual Christians to live in the victory that we've already been promised in our Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the whole armor of God, that we dress ourselves up, if you would, on a daily basis, and we go out and we charge, if you would. We don't retreat. We don't run away. We stand, and having done all, to stand. I think about an illustration, true story, from the Korean War. And as enemy forces advanced, the Baker Company was cut off from the rest of their unit. For several hours, no word was heard, even though the headquarters repeatedly tried to communicate with the missing troops. Finally, a faint signal was received. Straining to hear, the corpsman asked, "Baker Company, do you read me?" "This is Baker Company," came the reply. "What is your situation?" The sergeant answered, "The enemy is to the east of us, to the south of us, to the north of us. The enemy is all around us." And then after a pause, that sergeant said, "The enemy is not going to get away from us now." As I think about that this morning, I say to you that this year, there may be times in your own individual life that you will feel like you are surrounded by the enemy. We may at times feel like, as a church body, that we are surrounded by the enemy. But remember this, we must remain confident in God and never accept defeat, and having done all, to stand. You see, we were made for these times like these. We were made for these times. And so may God this year help us to stand, not run and retreat, not go and hide, but rather we would stand as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And today I'm going to tell you that there will be times this year when you will feel weak in the battle, when your knees, so to speak, will shake and you want to turn and run away. And yet that's when you look up and say, "Lord, I'm going to claim your power. I'm going to stand in the strength of your might." It may be that this year you will just need to be reminded of the Lord's purposes as a soldier of Jesus Christ, that you will be a soul winner, that you will reach somebody with the gospel of Jesus Christ this year, that this year you will give yourself over to prayer, that this year you will give yourself over to be an edifier, an encourager in the life of Calvary Baptist Church, that you value the matter of fellowship, and that this year as well, that you will not accept defeat in your Christian life, but rather you will stand in the victory that is promised you in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us this year, having done all, to stand, and stand firm in the battle. Father, I thank you this morning for the power of your word. When you laid this passage on my heart a few months ago, I knew then that this is the direction you wanted us to go this year. Father, none of us know what lies ahead. Not a single one of us. Other than, biblically, we know what the prophecy scriptures teach us. We know that Jesus is coming. We know that, yes, even more difficult days will come once a time of tribulation upon this earth begins. We know that. But, Father, we don't know what this day holds. We don't know what this week holds. But you do. And how I ask that you would help us this year to be a church that we will do all that we can, having done all to stand. That we would not run away from the battle. The spiritual war is real. The enemy is real. It's not against flesh and blood. We're up against spiritual wickedness. And so help us as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus to beware of our enemy. He wants to defeat us. He wants to devour us. He's known to us from your word as the devil. He wants to just again distract us. But help us as soldiers of Jesus Christ this year to stand. I thank you for the victory that's already promised to us. Every day as a believer, we can live in the victory in Christ. If we live in defeat, that's our own fault because you've set us up for victory. And now, Father, how I would ask that you would help us this year to be obedient to this call to stand. When we're tempted to just quit, help us to stand our ground and continue to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We need your help. This is why you have said to us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We stand in your might, not our own. Forgive us when we try on our own. Strengthen us. In Jesus' name, with our heads bowed, this year I put before you our theme, to stand. And I don't know how God has touched your heart this morning, but I'm going to ask you to stand here in just a moment. And when we do, when the music begins, I'm going to encourage you to come and kneel here and say, Lord, this year, help me to stand. I don't know any more than you do what lies ahead. But God has told us to stand. And I want to be right along with you and be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to stand. I don't want to give up ground. I want to stand in the power of his might. And so this morning I'm going to encourage you to step out and say, Lord, help me this year when I'm weak to stand in your strength. Lord, this year help me to stand in your purposes of soul winning and prayer and fellowship. And Lord, this year help me to stand in the victory that you've given me. You respond this morning. Let God work in your heart. Obey the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life this morning. Don't just stand where you're at. You're physically able. Come and kneel here and say, Lord, may this year be a year that you help me to be a soldier that stands for you. Won't you come? Now, one other thing. It may be that you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior. That Jesus Christ died for you, he rose again. One day he is coming again. We don't know when that will be. But I ask you, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Or would you go to hell, or do you know? Can you know with certainty? The Bible says you can. And I wonder this morning, there'd be someone here who say, Pastor, I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I sure would like to know, and I would that you remember me in prayer this morning. If that would be you, would you just lift your hand up right where you're at? I won't come to you, but I'll just remember you in prayer. Anybody at all while we wait? Say, Pastor, I don't know. If I died, I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like to know. Just lift your hand up, put it right back down. Anybody at all while we wait? And now, Father, I thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the ministry of the Spirit. Help people now to respond to the working of the Spirit and obedience to the Word, that we would stand as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. The mission is great. You've laid it out before us. We don't have to invent a new mission. We just follow the instruction manual. So help us. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen.